Tonight, right here in Colorado, we proved that no barrier should stand in the way of pursuing our dream.
We all will continue to strive to make a better Vermont, and nothing is impossible when you're on the side of justice.
Vote yes on 3.
And protect Massachusetts kids like me.
For all of you out there that can't handle the fact that I'm about to become the first openly gay person to hold statewide office.
We are better as a country than where we find ourselves today. We all know it.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Scotland puts queer culture in the books. Election anxiety kills an LGBTQ Christian forum in Armenia. And a rainbow-hued blue wave brightens the U.S. midterms. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 10th, 2018. The government of Scotland claimed this week that it's the first country on the planet to require queer-inclusive content in history and other social studies curriculum in every public school, without exception. The action was prompted by a study conducted by the Time for Inclusive Education campaign, which found that 9 of 10 LGBTQ students reported experiencing homophobia on campus, and 27% said it drove them to attempt suicide. In the same study, 4 of 5 teachers said that they don't feel that they've been adequately trained to combat homophobia, and very few teachers or students are aware of the challenges that intersex people face. Jordan Daly, co-founder of the Time for Inclusive Education campaign, called it a monumental victory that sends a strong and clear message to LGBTI young people that they are valued here in Scotland. The Christian Institute's Simon Calvert joined the few dissenting voices, charging that LGBTQ people are radical and intolerant of traditional religious views. But Education Secretary John Swinney disagreed. "Our education system must support everyone to reach their full potential," he said. "That is why it is vital that the curriculum is as diverse as the young people who learn in our schools." The UK's infamous Section 28, which outlawed the intentional promotion of homosexuality in public schools, was only repealed in Scotland in 2000 and in Britain and Wales in 2003.
But Armenia's police chief, Valery Osipyan, forced the cancellation this week of an LGBTQ Christian forum in the capital city of Yerevan, organized by the NGO New Generation, after it had become a political football ahead of next month's elections. "I don't consider it appropriate to hold the forum in Armenia," the Eurasian country's top cop said, considering the risks and security considerations. The conference was announced in August, using a gospel verse as the theme. "The spirit of our forum is love in Christ, which knows no boundaries, be it country, denomination, gender, or anything else." But in succeeding weeks, the 4-day forum that was scheduled to kick off on November 15th became the subject of heated debate in Parliament. Kerakin II, the Armenian Orthodox Church's top leader, called same-gender sex a sin. The denomination claims the vast majority of the country's population. The government of Levon Petrosyan would prefer that the issue not complicate the president's high approval ratings ahead of the elections. "It's a headache," he said. Forum organizers cited constant threats and organized intimidation in their November 6th cancellation announcement. They pointed to 13 similar events they've held across the region with no trouble and said that they didn't expect any in Yerevan. They asked people of faith to pray for the LGBTI persons in Armenia, their safety, freedom, and rights.
Homophobia is making headlines again in Indonesia. Government and religious officials in the predominantly Muslim nation's most populous province, West Java, called last month for the arrest and rehabilitation of LGBTQ people. 2 men in the provincial capital of Bandung were detained soon thereafter in a police raid of their home. They were charged with distributing indecent material online because of their Facebook page for same-gender couples that some reports described as a gay hookup site. There were also local news reports that provincial police in Lampung had been harassing trans women. 10 women accused of deviant lesbian behavior were arrested in Padang, the provincial capital of West Sumatra, on November 4th. Police officials said that the allegations were based on social media photos of some of them hugging and kissing like men and women. They range in age from 23 to 31. According to Human Rights Watch, police across the country in 2017 raided saunas, nightclubs, hotel rooms, hair salons, and private homes on suspicion that gay or transgender people were inside. At least 300 people were detained because of their perceived sexual orientation or gender identity, the highest number ever recorded in Indonesia. People have been publicly flogged for same-gender sex in Aceh, the only province allowed by the theoretically secular federal government to fully enforce Sharia or strict Islamic law. Same-gender sex is not specifically against the law in Indonesia, at least not yet. So the 10 accused lesbians in Padang will be sent to the Office of Social Services for what officials ominously described as guidance. Federal government authorities created a task force in February to stop the LGBT disease.
The crackdown on LGBTQ people apparently continues unabated in Tanzania. The federal government has disavowed last week's announcement by Dar es Salaam Governor Paul Makonda that all homosexuals would be arrested, urging citizens to report suspects to the police. Some media outlets last week said that people's homes were already being raided ahead of the announced November 5th start of the roundup, and that panic was spreading across the country, not just in Dar es Salaam. Tanzania's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that the Eastern African nation will continue to abide by the Constitution and to respect human rights treaties it has signed. That didn't satisfy the European Union, which has recalled its ambassador. And the U.S. Embassy in Tanzania issued a warning to American citizens in the country to carefully review their social media profiles to avoid being caught up in the crackdown. 10 men were arrested at a beach resort on the Tanzanian island of Zanzibar on November 3rd and charged with being part of a same-gender wedding ceremony. According to The Guardian, they each faced forced anal exams. Several human rights groups call the medically discredited procedure to supposedly discover evidence of homosexual activity torture. All of the men were released on bail on November 8th, but they face further proceedings. It's not clear whether or not the invasive anal exams had been or will be conducted. Same-gender sex is illegal in Tanzania under a colonial-era penal code that punishes offenders with up to 25 years in prison.
In better news for LGBTQ people, a rainbow-tinted blue wave swept Democrats into the governing majority in the U.S. House of Representatives in midterm elections held on November 6th. A record number of LGBTQ candidates, women, and people of color were elected, including the country's first openly gay man elected to a state governorship, Colorado's Jared Polis, and the re-election of bisexual Oregon Governor Kate Brown and trailblazing lesbian U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin. However, Vermont Democrat Christine Hultquist, who had already made history as the first transgender nominee of a major political party, lost her bid for governor. But Massachusetts voters soundly approved anti-bias protections for transgender people, the only LGBTQ-related measure on the midterms ballot. A Kansas congressional district elected the country's first Native American lesbian to the U.S. House. An Indiana district elected its first openly gay state legislator. Michigan has the state's first out lesbian attorney general. And Guam elected its first openly gay lieutenant governor. A few critical races remain too close to call as we record this newscast. But few tears are being shed in the queer community over the loss in her bid for re-election of notorious marriage certificate-denying Kentucky clerk Kim Davis. We'll have extended coverage and analysis of the rainbow-hued U.S. midterm elections following news wrap on most of these same This Way Out stations.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump's efforts to erase transgender people from U.S. anti-bias protections seem to be going nowhere. More than 50 transnational companies, ranging from Facebook and Google and Chase Bank to both Pepsi and Coca-Cola, have issued a business statement for transgender equality opposing the Trump agenda. 9 Nobel Prize winners were among more than 1,600 scientists signing an open letter calling on the Trump administration to abandon its trans-erasure plans. And almost 100 soon-to-be in-the-majority House Democrats have signed on to their own letter telling Trump to back off.
And finally, proudly gay retired Australian High Court Judge Michael Kirby is being dragged kicking and screaming down the aisle by his longtime partner, Johan van Vloten. Well, not literally. The lifelong champion of human rights first announced that he was boycotting last year's marriage equality postal plebiscite, though he later changed his mind and said he voted yes. But because we've been together now for 49 years and 8 months, he said, marriage just seemed a little artificial. It seemed a little late for the confetti. And it also seemed to us a little bit patriarchal. But he said the long-term spouses, he insists that they won't call each other husband and husband, decided to bow to what has now become convention. We ultimately decided that we are going to get married on the 50th anniversary of our meeting, Kirby said, which is the 11th of February, 2019. But it'll be at home, not in the since-torn-down hotel bar where they met. But he said they'd go back the next day to what is now a bustling bistro and ask for a table. Is that weird? He asked. He answered his own question. No, he said. I think it's a bit romantic.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending November 10th, 2018. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at the continuously updated thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
According to the LGBTQ Candidate Supporting Victory Fund, there were at least 225 queer contenders in local, state, and federal elections across the U.S. in the November 6th midterm elections. Ballots in a few high-profile races are still being counted as we record this program, with razor-thin margins separating the potential winners and losers. A number of firsts characterized the record-breaking crop of victorious LGBTQ candidates, the rainbow-tinted blue wave that swept Democrats into the majority in the U.S. House also included a record number of women and people of color. The only queer-specific measure on any midterm ballot this time asked voters in the state of Massachusetts if they wanted to protect transgender people from discrimination. Ann Northrup and Andy Hum of Gay USA TV underscored the lesson hopefully learned in that campaign.
Massachusetts retained its non-discrimination law on the basis of gender identity and expression.
More than 2-1, the voters of Massachusetts.
Well, the polling had been very good, but we're always nervous about these things because of a hidden vote.
We put transgender people, including young people, front and center.
I love my kids, and I'd do anything to protect them. For me, that includes taking care of my transgender son, Ian. Just like other kids, he likes hanging out with friends. So I want him to be protected from discrimination in public places like restaurants.
That's why I'm asking you to vote yes on question 3. It lets me live my life just like everyone else.
Vote yes on 3.
And protect Massachusetts kids like me.
That's the way to do it, folks. It's not by, you know, having just advocates talk for us and all that. You have to show people what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, and we won.
Andy Hum and Ann Northrup will have more thoughts on the implications of the U.S. midterm elections a little bit later. There were far too many qualified queer candidates for us to report on here, so we'll try to sample some of the most significant races and trailblazers. Colorado's governor-elect Democrat Jared Polis got the national media spotlight. It's been 14 years since Democratic New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy belatedly outed himself and resigned under a cloud of scandal. Polis is now the first already out gay candidate to be elected governor in any state in the union.
I pledge to serve all Coloradans, no matter your party, no matter where you live, no matter your race, or no matter your gender. We are all in this together. Tonight, right here in Colorado, we proved that no barrier should stand in the way of pursuing our dreams. We proved that we're an inclusive state that values every contribution, regardless of someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. And for the LGBTQ pioneers, for equality, and the generations before me who endured so much hardship and hurt to make it possible for so many of us, myself included, to live and to love openly and proudly, and to the people right here in this room, I want to say I'm profoundly grateful for all the work we've done to overcome. Thank you.
Vermont Democrat Christine Hallquist had already made history by being the first transgender candidate chosen in the gubernatorial primary of a major political party. She was gracious in defeat after losing her uphill battle to unseat a popular Republican incumbent.
I'm going to tell you one of the more beautiful stories that I saw on the campaign. You know, on the primary night, I was up in Island Pond, and this big burly man came running across the parking lot, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. But he ran up, and he says, oh, my God, I thought you were going to leave without me saying hello. He says, I am so proud of you, and I'm so, you know, happy with the work you're doing. I just wanted to shake your hand. So Vermonters all over, we are a welcoming and inclusive state, and I love Vermont. And we all will continue to strive to make a better Vermont, and nothing is impossible when you're on the side of justice. Thank you so much.
The election of an intersectional candidate in Kansas also got some national attention. Lesbian Democrat Charisse Davids will be one of the first two Native American women in the U.S. Congress. Davids is also an accomplished martial arts expert. She told MSNBC's Rachel Maddow what prompted her to become a first-time candidate, and one of her campaign messages brought the point home.
I think that at the core of what helped me feel empowered to do this was that I knew my community could do so much more and have a much stronger voice in Washington, D.C. than what we had with Congressman Yoder. And, you know, starting off at Johnson County Community College right here in our community and making my way to Cornell for law school, I mean, so much of the opportunity I've had in my life stemmed from the support I've had here and, you know, having a strong public education foundation and all of those things combined just led me to take the leap because I knew that we could do so much better than what we had. Making sure that people knew what we were fighting for.
This is a tough place to be a woman. I've been put down, pushed aside, knocked out. Truth is, I've had to fight my whole life because of who I am, who I love, and where I started. But I didn't let anything get in my way. Still, it's 2018, and women, Native Americans, gay people, the unemployed and underemployed, have to fight like hell just to survive. And it's clear, Trump and the Republicans in Washington don't give a damn about anyone like me or anyone that doesn't think like them. Enough. That's why I'm running for Congress.
More victorious queer candidates from the November 6th U.S. midterm elections in a moment.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. An informed community is a strong community.
Out lesbian Democrat Angie Craig won a rematch and unseated the incumbent Republican in Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District. She'll be the first openly lesbian mom in Congress, and her wife and children were featured in campaign ads. Craig's victory celebrants also toasted the woman behind the woman.
It's been about decency and civility.
That's right.
And it's about working together to try to find common ground and actually govern in this country.
That's
again.
Right.
What a moment this is. None of it would have been possible, though, without the love and support of my family.
Yeah.
Thank you for encouraging me to do this again and for being with me every single step of the way.
Yes.
A 36-year-old Democrat also ousted a Republican Indiana state Senate incumbent who held the seat since 2005. J.D. Ford becomes the first out LGBTQ state-level elected official. He told Indianapolis TV station WISH that he knew he was blazing a trail.
It's not lost on me about the historical significance, but as I mentioned tonight, this win truly is about giving a voice to LGBTQ plus Hoosiers. They didn't pass the hate crimes bill in the last General Assembly session, and so for me, this is what this boils down to. The voters in our district, they spoke loud tonight.
The voters of Michigan made Democrat Dana Nessel Attorney General and the first queer office holder in the state. And she was yet another victorious married lesbian mom. She thanked her twin sons and smooched her significant other on election night.
I would like to thank my family. Where are you guys? My beautiful sons, Alex and Zach. And of course, more than anything, my beautiful wife for sticking with me through all of this. Thank you, Alana. I love you. And for all of you out there that can't handle the fact that I'm about to become the first openly gay person to hold statewide office.
Whereupon she kissed her wife, Alana McGuire. The first openly LGBTQ member of the U.S. Senate is Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin. She fended off the formidable challenge of a Republican opponent who was bankrolled by the far-right uber-wealthy Koch brothers to the tune of at least $10 million, according to reports. She stressed the need for reconciliation and bipartisan cooperation now that Donald Trump's presidency has a Democratic-controlled House to check and balance him.
Make no mistake, I am proud to be a Wisconsin progressive. Our democracy demands more than trying simply to beat the other side. We are better as a country than where we find ourselves today. We all know it. So let us tonight start working together to advance a common good.
Ann Northrup and Andy Hum assessed the mixed bag of midterm election results in the U.S. House and Senate on their Gay USA TV program recorded November 7th and bid a not cheerful hasta la vista to an infamous Kentucky clerk.
I have a list of things that might come up in the House.
Yeah, I think we should tell people, because what did we win?
Well, we hope we've won the Equality Act finally getting passed by the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi did talk about this some in the election process.
We won a check and balance on this horrible president. That's what we won.
If we stand firm. Now, one of my concerns is that Democrats... I mean, look at Chuck
Will
Schumer.
Will fold like a cheap suit?
Well, look what Chuck Schumer did with the judges before the election, saying, that's okay, we'll pass another 15 of your judges as long as we get to go home and campaign.
The fact that we did not win back the Senate means we are condemned to getting all these horrible judges confirmed by the Senate almost automatically.
Yep.
There's almost no one to stop them now. That's horrible.
It is horrible. They can't pass everything in the Senate with a majority. They need 60 for a lot of stuff. But the Equality Act, at least symbolically, we can pass and then hold their feet to the fire in the Senate.
I mean, there are some Republicans who support the Equality Act, a handful.
But is Mitch McConnell going to let them vote for it? Trans-military stuff may come up, and having a Democratic House may help on that. Religious freedom stuff we may be able to stop more easily with a Democratic House. There are some adoption regulations that we may be able to do better on. the definition of sex discrimination to include sexual orientation and gender identity could be helped by a Democratic House.
But most importantly, let's look at who are going to be heading the committees in the House now. Congressman Jerry Nadler, a great liberal, is going to be the head of the House Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. He has already announced that he is going to conduct certain investigations into the Trump administration and malfeasance. Adam Schiff is going to head the Intelligence Committee. Finally, we're going to find out what's going on there. Elijah Cummings is going to be head of Oversight and Government Reform of Maryland.
Impeach 45!
Maxine Waters is head of the Financial Services Commission, and she can investigate the criminality of the Trump crime family.
Yeah, we may hear more about her checkered
Richard
career.
Richard Neal of Massachusetts is head of Ways and Means, and he has already said, I have a perfect right now to see Trump's tax returns, and I am going to. He can see anybody's tax returns in the country, so watch out.
And really, really, really not sorry to see Kim Davis lose the county clerkship in Kentucky.
She was spending too much time in Romania in an unsuccessful effort to ban same-sex marriage in the Constitution of Romania.
And other countries around the world.
Oh, boy. Well, that's probably...
She's the traveling show.
She lost for clerk. You're out of a job. It's sweet.
And the guy who beat her said, I will give marriage licenses to everyone. So don't you let me see you cry.
A big thanks to our friends Ann Northrup and Andy Hum. You can find them at gayusatv.org. We'll have more queer relevant elections results in still contested races and some of the other notable victories we didn't have time for in this report next time on This Way Out. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Sarah Sweeney and Michael LeBeau, produced with Brian DeShazer. Taylor Mack performed Patti Smith's The People Have the Power live on CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Peter Gallagher sang However Dark the Night from the Idolmaker motion picture soundtrack. And Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Thanks for helping to keep our 30-year streak going at thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media and wherever you get your podcasts. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Alicia Chappella and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WMNBLP, North Adams, Massachusetts, KFAR, Knoxville, Tennessee, CFRC, Kingston, Ontario, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.